You're beautiful. And I'll soon tell you why I think so. We're in a struggle that will go on for many, many years, and it will not cease with the elections in the fall. Because we stand at a crossroads in history, which, if not countered, will go down as the dark ages of this century. But we have something that they do not have. And we are richer in some regards than they are. Because their riches consist of things and money. And things and money come and go. And for instance, money, when you give it away, you have less of it. But we have something which the more you give of it, the more you have. And that's human love and compassion. I will not stand up here and chant, although it's very lovely to hear, that the people united will never be defeated. People united have been defeated. They have been. The thing I can say with certainty is that regardless of the outcome in the days ahead, what we have here is a human experience which can never be extinguished. Now, I have been an activist for close to 80 years. And because of that, I feel I'm probably one of the richest people I've ever met, and probably richer than anybody in this audience. Because I have found social activism the most rewarding of human experiences. Now, in the fight for peace and justice, some people do more and some people do less. And whatever you do is of value. There are people who are social activists for a day, and some who are social activists for a week, and some who are social activists for a year. But there are some people who are social activists and remain social activists all through their lives and do not experience that as a sacrifice, but rather as a great way to live. And so, it is a great pleasure for me, as a matter of fact, it's an honor, to introduce a man who I consider a star in the firmament of the struggle for peace and justice, a man who again and again has demonstrated his devotion to the cause which we celebrate here today. I want to give you my dear friend and comrade in the struggle, Ed Asner.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to begin by saying I am sorry that people have been arrested today, because I would like us to broadcast nothing but an image of peace. The time to be arrested for peace is not yet come, but it may soon. So save your arrest for the near future. And if that time comes, I hope to God I'm with you. Good afternoon, Seattle. And greetings to my fellow patriots. I've come to you today mad as hell. And I've joined you to raise my voice against the stupid, bumbling planning for this craven war, which will shape the future of our nation's sons and daughters. By the way, Have you ever noticed how George Bush tries to walk and talk like a gunfighter? In his latest duel, he had a .45, and his opponent had a pea shooter. If things keep going the way they are, our body count in Iraq could start competing with the death toll from 9-1-1. Thank you, George. Our men and women in the military, trained and trusting, have not been warned or prepared, did not suspect they would be such vulnerable targets. Our youth, many who come from low-income backgrounds, who often enter the military to advance their education and standard of living, these modern-day warriors coming from the most prosperous of land have not been issued the proper protection while serving their country. Why? Because our fat cat government chooses to nickel and dime them. Some of you might ask, why choose the military as a way to get ahead? Well, could it be that far too many years our government couldn't be bothered lending a hand to the little guy any other way? Or wasn't interested in finding better ways to invest in the faith, dignity, and loyalty of its citizens? And seems even less inclined to do so now. We have permitted such overbearing greed in our midst, or even worse, looked the other way when cupidity invaded our culture. And we are about to pay the piper, because the people always do. The people can't cook the books like the Enrons, the Adelphias, and all the other greedmeisters in our land.
Yeah. You bet.
Soon, we will witness a generation of cripples, an army of destroyed innocents, our country's lifeblood spent for what? It matters not whether our returning brothers and sisters, neighbors and friends, mothers and fathers, enlisted for idealistic or for desperate reasons. Our future, our youth, throughout history, have left their homes well-intentioned, patriotic, only to sacrifice their spirit and, yes, their bodies, entire lives squandered to better grease the filthy war machine. Of the 130,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, some 80,000 still don't have the safest high-tech boron carbide vests. What the hell is going on here? The Republican-controlled House Budget Committee voted to cut $25 billion in veterans' benefits over the next 10 years. What the hell is going on here? Some soldiers did not receive pay for up to 6 months after mobilization. What the hell is going on here? This administration is asking for extraordinary, supreme sacrifices from our country's troops while ignoring basic necessities such as pay and health care. Why? Why are they asking our soldiers to make so many sacrifices? They must think we're as stupid as they are. As much as this administration presumes we have been lulled into believing that America can go to war without giving up anything, we are here today to protest, to demonstrate that we are not lulled, not fooled. We do not accept this new world economic order where 34 million Americans are living in poverty and 43 million have no health care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where 2 million manufacturing jobs have been either lost or outsourced. Bush. Bush has said that American workers will need new skills to get the new jobs in the 21st century. Some of the skills they're going to need our knowledge of Spanish, Chinese, or Korean. Because that's where the jobs went.
Woo! You tell them!
And who better than Bush can make that happen? Or serve as living proof when you take a job without training.
Yeah.
Or serve as living proof and show us what a great example he is of fluency in languages. Particularly English. In his annual economic report to Congress, President Bush said that the transfer of American jobs overseas is actually part of a positive transformation that will enrich the U.S. economy over time. So, basically, losing your job to someone else can be a good thing. Of course, we'll see how he feels about that in November. Belong. I want to speed the job up of outsourcing. He says he will be focusing on jobs. I think the one job he's focusing on is his own. The White House is now backtracking from its prediction that 2.6 million new jobs will be created in the U.S. this year. I would say that they were roughly off by 2.5 million jobs. Our national debt has swollen to more than $7 trillion. Almost $24,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. And you're not excluded. For the first time in history, all 50 states of the Union simultaneously struggle against bankruptcy. Never mind the George Bush claims the all-time record for most corporate campaign donations.
Yeah, let's take some of that money.
He has removed more checks and balances and has the least amount of congressional oversight than any presidential administration in U.S. history. Witness how his toady Medicare people kept the real cost of the new drug bill a third more than estimated from Congress, where it passed the House by only one vote. Yet another example of what Big Brother is doing to us. And not satisfied with his campaign to ruin our future, in his spare time, when he's not chopping brush in Crawford, he has become the first United States president in history to have a majority of the people in Europe, 71%, view his presidency as the biggest threat to world peace and security. His reelection can only mean more war, or at the very least, using the threat of it to dominate and cow the world. Terrorism has served George Bush so well, spending at least $400 billion, the military-industrial complex, to fight box cutters and manure, while making our people fearful and abridge our civil liberties.
Right.
My darlings, I'm so proud to be here in Seattle today. And if I wasn't here, I would have been marching and shouting in L.A., but this is so much more exciting to me. You have heard that you've got quite the reputation as troublemakers. And organizers. Just the sort, the very sort of rabble-rousers we need right now. More than ever. And I thank you. For you give this old soul and that old soul great hope and vitality. Many months ago, my comrade Abe Osheroff tempted me, challenged me to join you here today in Seattle. It's safe to say a finer gathering of patriots from sea to shining sea could not be found.
Yeah. Woo!
And of course, we patriots gather here to urge our country to do what is right rather than what is profitable. Let us have peace for humanity's sake. This should be an age of order, not of crime, of morality, not vice, of life, not death. Wars have been glorified in history, but today, shouldn't all our virtuous instincts tell us it is wrong? It's no secret that war is merely organized murder. Shall we execute a man for taking a life and glorify nations for slaughtering thousands?
No!
What is the duty of our age? In our homes, in our schools, in our churches, and everywhere. It is our duty to make the coming generation see that peace is grander than war.
Yeah! Woo!
That to live for a great purpose is nobler than to die. That the development of society is more poetic than flowing blood and frenzied patriotism. The real and lasting victories are those of peace and not of war. Either war is obsolete or men are. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Bring our troops home now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Give Ed Asner another round of applause. That was some great and important words that he gave us.